You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I'm Sam Keir, host of Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. For the past 12 months, I've been talking to T20 star David Visa, getting his take from behind the scenes at the IPL, the 100, and the rest of the world's biggest leagues.
That's the don't nearly view system deal. There's no ways in my mind that was up.
These guys don't know how to win at this stage.
He had his driver pick him up in his Bentley.
People start chanting your name. You kind of have to pinch yourself.
Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sport Social.
My brother-in-law died suddenly, and now my sister and her kids have to sell their home. That's why I told my husband we could not put off getting life insurance any longer. An agent offered us a 10-year, $500,000 policy for nearly $50 a month. Then we called SelectQuote. SelectQuote found us identical coverage for only $19 a month, a savings of $369 a year.
Whether you need a $500,000 policy or a $5 million policy, SelectQuote could save you more than 50% on term life insurance.
For your free quote, go to SelectQuote.com. SelectQuote.com. That's SelectQuote.com.
SelectQuote. We shop, you save. Full details on example policies at SelectQuote.com/commercials.
Hello and welcome to the five-year plan pod extra following a 2-2 draw against Leicester City at Selhurst Park. I'm here with Adam Sells. How are you doing, Adam?
Very well, thank you, Robert.
Not flat as a pancake tonight, so that's obviously a good sign.
No, closer to over the moon than flat as a pancake.
That's good. And also...
Probably happy, that's probably.
Happy. Yeah. And also Dom Fifield. How are you doing, Dom?
I'm very well, thank you, Rob.
Wonderful. So we got to watch a game of two halves again, I think, but in a better way this time. Dom, what were your thoughts on the game and what you witnessed of Palace?
I'm not sure it was a game of two halves, really, because I think Palace actually were the better team for a large part of the first half as well. But what we witnessed was what has been quite a regular theme of late, where we've done very, very well in the approach in our attacking play, but it was the final ball that was letting us down, or the effort at goal that was scuffed or off target or snatched. And if you play that game where you are profligate effectively, whether you're creating clear-cut chances or not, there is always the chance that you will be undermined at the other end. And the sort of two aberrations just before half time, with about 15 minutes from half time, really set us back horrifically. And that period up to half time, we looked properly rattled, as you'd expect from a team that's basically gifted opponents to a 2-goal lead, and demonstrated exactly what Palace have actually been missing. Because, you know, in Iheanacho and Jamie Vardy, I think Vardy had 3 touches in the first half. Mm. One of them was a pass. One of them was a goal. It was exasperating. But then, you see them take those chances so clinically. When you look at the sort of the double save that Schmeichel made in that first half from Zaha and Gallagher, and in similar positions, you'd imagine Iheanacho and Vardy would be taking those chances as well. But that said, from a position where it felt pretty hopeless at halftime, and the next goal was going to be critical. And you know, Harvey Barnes could easily have scored that next goal for Leicester. I thought the way we rallied and dominated that second half and really stretched and exposed Leicester City defensively was superb. Really, really welcome. I don't know what the difference was particularly, other than Elise took his chance very, very well. And in the pinball around the second goal, Schlupp kept his composure to guide that header in. But the two substitutes to have made an impact was brilliant. I hope we don't stick with the narrative that I've seen all over social media about, you know, well, that wouldn't have happened under the previous regime. I don't think there's a real comparison that can be made on that that's fair. But it's lovely to see that Palace have options on the bench who can come on and can transform an occasion, even one that felt pretty hopeless against a team that have been finishing the top five of the last two seasons. In the end, a very, very good point from where we were at half-time. Although part of me is actually quite frustrated because we were the better team throughout that 90 minutes. And at some point, these dominant performances have got to start yielding wins. Hopefully that happens after the international break when those players are fitter and we can see more of Elise, hopefully, and see Ebru Chiesa back in the fold, etc. Because for all the progress, undoubted progress we're making, and things are starting to click, it is a process. It would just be nice to have a couple more wins on the board.
Yeah. Adam, what are your thoughts on what you witnessed?
Very similar to Dom, really. I mean, I guess it depends if your glass is half empty or half full, really. You know, if you look at it on the positive side, you know, we're playing some really nice stuff. High octane, high intensity, winning the ball back, taking more risks defensively in possession. It's great to watch. I think it's enjoyable. We're turning up and giving everyone a game, which is good. And, you know, I suppose on the downside, if you include Watford, because we pretty much turned out a first team there in a League Cup game. We played Premier League opponents 8 times. We've won one game against 10 men with the help of a penalty, you know. So I think it's, and, you know, I didn't realise, I've not followed the social media narrative that Dom was referring to. You know, we wouldn't have done this under the previous regime or whatever. I don't think you can compare the playing squad currently to the previous regime as well. You know, when you think of the money that's been spent. And it was just interesting to me that, you know, not wanting to put the kiss of death on it, but for example, pretty much after the first game at Chelsea, we fielded the same back four in every single game, haven't we, so far?
Yeah.
Is that right? How often did we have a centre-half get injured last season or the last few years because of their age and all that sort of stuff? So it just shows you the benefit of youth, really, and the sort of resilience. I really enjoyed the game. Like Dom, I thought we played very well for half an hour, you know, again, but still probably not creating or not troubling the goalkeeper enough. And I think the two goals obviously were giveaways. Kelechi got his usual trademark goal against Crystal Palace that he always seems to score, Iheanacho. And both of them, as Dom said, I can pay both players a true compliment in that as soon as they were bearing down on goal, you knew there was only going to be one outcome, essentially, and they ruthlessly finished. And we're 2-0 down at half time. Credit the fans, or certainly pockets of them, because the team were applauded off the pitch by the fans and encouraged, certainly where you were, Rob, I think, in the corner of Holmesdale from where I was looking. And I think I could sort of understand why. I think we bottled it a little bit for 15 minutes after the goal, you know, like up to half time. We kind of bottled it. I don't know if that's the right word. But I think we had the nuts knocked out of us for sure. We looked to be sort of a little bit forlorn and feeling a bit sorry for ourselves, perhaps thinking we've done all right here and we're 2-0 down. But I wasn't too disappointed. I said at half time, I still think we'll take something from the game, providing we get the next goal. But I think that the introduction of Elise would be essential for that to happen. And fortunately, Patrick Vieira didn't hang around too long before he made that choice. And, you know, it transformed us in the sense of it gave us a real outlet on that side. And his quality and feel for the ball was remarkable. You know, his touch, his vision, his ability to go by people. He looks a hell of a player at first glance, I have to say, you know, the bits I've seen. And, you know, nice to see when there's a little bit of ping pong in the box that he actually puts his foot through it and bam, it's in the back of the net, no messing. Got us back in the game. Edouard was really unlucky with that one where he cut inside and rattled the bar. It's probably still shaking now. And I thought, you know, we gave us, you know, everything we could. Jeffrey Schlupp pops up with a goal and, you know, makes a good contribution. I think that he's really good in that sort of attacking midfield role as well. And, you know, Conor Gallagher, you know, worked hard again today, but sometimes his end product isn't quite always there. And I think I've used the, you know, I was even chatting with Steve Parrish before the game. You know, I sort of said that I thought we sort of lacked a cutting edge without doing badly at all. But with Michael Elise on the pitch, we looked that little bit more of a threat. And and Jeffrey Schlupp getting forward, all of a sudden you had goal scorers on the field and we end up with a draw. And to be honest, as Dom said, I'm slightly disappointed with the draw in the sense that although it feels like a win coming from 2-0 down, I think we know that on the day overall we probably should have we've gifted the two goals really. And you know, I guess you could say that I think probably when we got to 2-2, the Vardy injury and all that sort of stuff seemed to really take the sting out of the game, and we didn't really quite get up that sort of head of steam that you would have wanted at 2-2 with a crowd and all that sort of thing to force a winner. Although I think, was it Schlappy, Dom? You've seen it back
with the little header, yeah.
header that just went
yeah.
wide in the end, right?
Yeah.
So
from an Elise corner, which looked as a proper threat as well, he really whipped that one in.
Mm. It's one of those. It is one of those things. I think, you know, we've witnessed mistakes in quite a few games now, and I do feel like the problem with these kind of errors a little bit is it's kind of cancerous almost, where, you know, one player makes a mistake like as happened in the Brighton game, and that kind of those little kind of doubts can creep in a little bit. And I think with Anderson, unfortunately, you then had that incident, which then resulted to some extent in the second Leicester goal, in part because of a little bit of panic that set in the side. But I think for me, the really good thing is they came out of that in the second half, and it was like the first half started again, basically, in terms of setup, the way that we played, the determination. But with Anderson, what do you? It was one of those things where when you're playing that kind of possession football at the back, if you just get caught out, you open yourself up. But I guess the key thing is that after that happened, I know that they then scored a second goal, but it wasn't the result of possession football that second goal came along. I don't, if I remember correctly, I can't remember how we lost possession. Was it Joel Ward? That led up to
midfield. I'm still looking. I'm watching the first goal as we talk here, and bizarrely, Palace are in possession with Jordan Ayew halfway inside Leicester's half on the right touchline. He's got the ball. He's got options, forward options. And what he actually does is he plays a diagonal pass back to Mark Gurley, who lays it inside to Anderson. Now, Anderson is about 10 yards inside Palace's half. Ian Acho is inside Leicester's half, and he approaches him and panics Anderson into playing the ball back to Gurley. So that's about 3 seconds before the repeat happens. The frustration I've got with it is that's happened once, and when he gets it back, Ian Acho is still actually, I mean, he's closer and he's got a bit more urgency about the run, but it's literally just happened. There's an easy pass out to the right to Joel Ward, and his first touch just lets him down horrifically and just puts him in a position where he can't twist his body to play it right, and he ends up trying to head it back towards Gurley when there was actually Jamie Vardy pretty much in between the two centre-halves then anyway. So the frustration is he didn't learn from that first error 3 or 4 seconds before the second one happens. And yeah, I was with Selzy. As he did it, way before Ian Acho's hit the back of the net, I'm screaming at the television, going, "Oh no, this isn't good at all."
The second one, words.
there were kids in the house, but and Selzy won't like that. But it may have been slightly more fruity language.
I hope you didn't swear in front of your children. You know, I don't like that.
But they were aware that Palace had conceded. Let's put it like that. The second one, actually, Leicester have the ball, and yeah, Joel Ward does come forward and tries to make a challenge in the just beyond the halfway line on Vardy, and loses it to Tielemans, who clips it through. Sorry, to Barnes, not to Vardy, and then he's chasing back. The body shape for Anderson's all over the place as that ball has slipped wide to the left, and the finish is very similar to the one that we wanted Wilf to put away earlier in the game, but he's put it inside the near post, having absolutely,
yeah,
it's a lovely finish, but I mean it's. Yeah. Again, it was a case of oh no, here we go. As soon weirdly, when Anderson goes to ground. And this is, I hope Joe Ward doesn't take offense to this if he ever listens to the, if he's a Patreon, but I wasn't aware from the television angle which defender was going to ground. And it just looked like one of those errors that Joel occasionally makes, usually against Wolves in the last minute at home when you're 1-0 up. But he's on the floor and completely out of the game by the time Vardy's approaching goal. Torrid 5-6 minutes for Joachim Anderson, but he's not going to change. And as you say, if we're going to play this way, there will be moments like this. I mean, Roy Keane was spitting at the break saying, well, I don't know why.
Of course he was.
Football's
changed, Roy. Football has changed since you played the game. You know, that's the reality.
There were moments in the City-Liverpool game later on where defenders on both teams almost dropped clangers. Almost. It's playing on the edge, but with risk and reward. So
thanks for listening. The full podcast is available at patreon.com/FYP podcast.
My brother-in-law died suddenly, and now my sister and her kids have to sell their home. That's why I told my husband we could not put off getting life insurance any longer. An agent offered us a 10-year, $500,000 policy for nearly $50 a month. Then we called SelectQuote. SelectQuote found us identical coverage for only $19 a month, a savings of $369 a year.
Whether you need a $500,000 policy or a $5 million policy, SelectQuote could save you more than 50% on term life insurance.
For your free quote, go to SelectQuote.com. SelectQuote.com. That's SelectQuote.com.
SelectQuote. We shop, you save. Full details on example policies at SelectQuote.com/commercials.
Sports Social Podcast Network.